welcome to the Sound of Economics podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. I am Maria Demergis, Bruegel's deputy director, and today I will be hosting the director's cut of our podcast, The Sound of Economics. With me to discuss the importance of financial literacy is Professor Anna Maria Luzzardi, who is academic director at the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center in Washington. Anna, welcome.
Hi, hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us today on a topic that, as you know, of course, it has been always a very close to my heart topic. I think financial literacy is an important topic, and we invited you here today to help us understand why this is. But before we go into the details of it, if you could explain to us and to our audience, what do we understand with the term financial literacy?
It's an important question, and you know, it's always important to provide a definition.
That's right.
So we can, you know, tell what things are. So we thought about this a lot, for example, among the group of experts that designed the PISA financial literacy assessment. And we came up with a formal definition.
Okay.
And actually, I would like you to give you first that formal definition, because I think it's important to be precise
Absolutely.
About what financial literacy is. And so our definition is something like that financial literacy is knowledge and understanding of financial concepts and risks and the skills, motivation and confidence to apply such knowledge and understanding in order to make effective decisions across a range of financial contexts to improve the financial well-being of individual and society, and to enable participation in economic life.
I see.
So to summarize, what is it? It's really that basic knowledge that we need, that everybody needs today in order to make financial decisions, decisions that are important to, you know, participate in economic life.
I see.
So, you know, it has become like what reading and writing was in the past, right?
Okay.
In order to participate to society, you needed to have that basic knowledge. And today, to participate to society, you need to be financially literate.
But if I understand correctly, it's not exactly numerical literacy, right? It's not the same thing as the numerical literacy that we know when we talk about education.
Right. Absolutely. Math is not enough.
Oh, I see.
It's also, for example, knowledge of your rights and obligations.
Oh, I see.
It's also to know where to go to get information.
Okay.
Right? So it's so much beyond numerical literacy.
And tell us then why this is important. Why is financial literacy a topic that has always been there, but I would argue it's picking up. Why is it that financial literacy has become such an important part of our education?
Because the world is changing and it requires us to make, to take some actions, for example. So the world is changing in many ways, starting from differences in financial markets. Financial markets have become a lot more complex.
That's right.
Right? Changes in the pension system. The good news is we all live longer, but we also now need to take care a lot more of our financial security after retirement, because these demographic changes are going to create enormous challenges for, you know, public systems. But I also think, you know, the labor market is changing. The cost of education, for example, is increasing, and it has become a lot more important today. You know, our decision to invest in education and also how to pay for that education.
I see.
So we face a different set of decisions than in the past. And this is why we need that essential skills. As in the past, you know, we needed to be able to read and write. Today, we need to be able to manage our money to be able to, you know, thrive in today's society.
So you're even saying, if I may give an example, that, you know, most of us will buy a house, if not more than once in our lifetime. And you're saying that if we don't have the right financial literacy skills, we might actually not make the right decision in choosing which house to buy, but also how to finance that house, right?
That is one example, and which is an important example because it's quite often a large amount of money. But, you know, even in the everyday financial decisions, you know, which bank account to choose is important, you know, how to finance, you know, even your everyday purchases is important. Are you charging on your credit card? You know, are you taking up debt? You know, all of these small decisions also add up. and they are a lot more important today than in the past.
I see.
So, you know, we use it. We use that skill in our everyday life, not just once in a while when we buy
my
a house.
Indeed, indeed. So tell us, where are we on financial literacy? How financial literate are we? And are there groups out there that are more vulnerable than others?
So we are, I think, at the crisis level when it comes to financial literacy.
Oh, I see.
We have provided, we have measured financial literacy in many countries, and we have now even a global survey of financial literacy where we compare knowledge across basically more than 140 countries. And the surprising result, the striking result, is that even countries with well-developed financial market, with rich, even rich countries, have very low level of financial literacy. In other words, people really lack the basic knowledge, the knowledge which is at the basis of financial decision making. And unfortunately, not only financial illiteracy is widespread, but is particularly severe among certain groups.
I see.
For example, the young, and you know, even though they face such a different future, they have little financial knowledge, but also the elderly have different financial knowledge because the world is changing in front of them, and they didn't acquire potentially the knowledge that that's required in the future. But also large demographic group, for example, women, and also those with low education.
So they typically have less financial literacy, or like a lower financial literacy score, which means that the quality of the financial decisions that they make will be lower as a result.
It's more nuanced, but I think, you know, overall, many of this group have level of financial knowledge, which I think are insufficient to make good financial decisions, and also sometimes to even make those decisions, to have the confidence of make those decisions.
Can you tell us a little bit of what this means in terms of vulnerabilities? How are these groups, you know, you mentioned women, so how are they more vulnerable than others?
So, for example, women live longer, right?
That's right.
Speaking of what we were saying earlier, they also take care of others, for example, children and the elderly.
That's right.
So financial decisions they make are also not just about themselves, but also other people. And this is why in our definition, the one I was mentioning earlier, we actually think that financial literacy is important not just for the well-being of the individuals, but also for society.
I see.
Meaning often you make financial decisions that has spillover to other people.
I see.
So women with less financial knowledge are less likely to plan for their retirement, are less likely to be good investors, for example, are less likely to accumulate wealth, and potentially are less likely to take care well of the people they care about.
I see. Okay, and then the question then, of course, is what can we do about it? How can we promote financial literacy to promote economic outcomes? Because I'd imagine there are measurable economic outcomes that can be helped if we were to improve financial literacy.
Indeed, we have seen that financial literacy matters and matters a lot for financial decisions. And that's why I think financial literacy has to be taken up also at the policy level.
Indeed.
So we need policy to promote financial literacy and financial knowledge. And of course, it starts in the school.
Oh.
You know, as you know, in the past, we had promoted, you know, the school for everybody, and we require everybody to be able to read and write to succeed in society. I think it's important that financial literacy is now added as an additional topic in the schools, because that's a skill that we really need going forward.
And you mean schools at what age? You mean continuous or early age, later age?
I think as early as possible.
I
Our
see.
Financial habits start very early. And actually, I cannot think of any topic that we haven't learned from early on and then develop, you know,
Indeed.
In our studies. You know, that's how we learn history, math, you know, literature and so on. We don't learn any topic in just one course,
Indeed.
You know, at the end of high school. So I think starting as early as possible, I think is very, very important in terms of developing that knowledge and also continuing throughout life as well, because, you know, we always observe many changes. But of course, you know, this only applies for the young. How about the adult population, which is already at work? Well, this is where people are. They are at work. And that's where I think we can also provide financial education. So workplace financial education can be, for example, a good opportunity to have programs for the adults. And programs can also be done in the places where people go, for example, to learn. We have example of museums now, of financial literacy, money and finance museum, you know, libraries, even hospital, where, you know, supermarket, the places where people go and shop and look for information. That's where financial literacy can be provided. But I think given the level of financial illiteracy, we really need large and scalable programs. Otherwise, we are not going to be able to make a dent.
Can you give us any examples of either policies that have really worked or of initiatives that are there to sort of increase the spread of the financial literacy relevance? In your experience, I know you're also the director of the Financial Literacy Center in Italy, the committee that is trying to promote financial literacy. How do you do that in practice?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly very challenging, but I have to say I am extremely proud last summer of being nominated director of this new financial education committee in Italy. And Italy, in a sense, is joining almost 70 other countries which are doing national strategies for financial literacy. So I think that's very important, meaning we need a policy at the aggregate level, at the macro level, because first of all, we don't want everybody to do the same thing, right? So we need a coordinated effort so that initiatives are coordinated, but also I think we need to promote very large and scalable programs mm-hmm. for financial literacy so we can reach a wide group of the population.
I see.
And I think a lot of the other countries have really, what have done, you know, have certainly targeted the group of the population which are important and large and more scalable. You know, they have built, and in Italy we have done as well, a website for financial education, which is a reliable source of information where people go to gain information. And then we can design, and we are trying to design, you know, large program for all of the groups, including vulnerable groups.
How would you do that? So if you, let's say, you mentioned earlier on that older people have a disadvantage when it comes to financial literacy. If you are an older person in Italy and you decided mm-hmm. that you need to do something about improving your skills because you still have mm-hmm. to make financial decisions, you know, mm-hmm. for retirement, that would be crucial for you. How would you, is there something that you could offer to people, to these groups?
So the elderly is probably the most difficult groups because, you know, people have already accumulated a lot of experience. So I think we need to find a way to appreciate the experience that people have, but also make it easy for them to access information. So I think be in the place where people are and where people go. So one of my dreams, for example, in Italy, people go and play bocce. I don't know if you have played bocce, but it's a great game. So we want to combine money and bocce, you know? So, like, people are there to play bocce, and perhaps we can be there to play bocce, but at the same time to also, you know, have some programs that can be enjoyable and can provide some financial knowledge, because actually, much of the wealth in Italy is concentrated probably on the older population.
Yeah.
And also the older population makes many important and consequential financial decisions. So, you know, it's important to provide education to those who might benefit the most.
If I may ask, you said earlier on when you started that we are in a crisis situation when it comes to financial literacy. So I suppose what you imply by that is that it's not a luxury. It's not that we can wait and sort of try and learn a little bit about what financial issues are. I think you imply that unless we do something, we are running big risks. Can you tell us what these risks are?
Well, we have experienced those risks already, and that's why I feel a lot of the countries have come to financial literacy after they have experienced crises. But the financial literacy and financial education is not a response to a crisis. It's a response to a world which is changing. So I think of financial literacy as doing prevention. Mm. And, you know, as every illness, you know, sometimes you don't see it until you do the test.
I see.
Right? And so it's really important to act early. It's really important to do prevention so people are well equipped and they don't run into bigger problem later on. So that's, I think, you know, it is an essential skill to live in today's society. Everybody makes financial decisions. And I think, you know, it's very, very important that we make sure that people have this skill. You know, you asked me earlier definition of financial literacy, and, you know, we had a formal definition. But my preferred definition is a definition that is part of a book I'm trying to write. And my definition is that financial literacy is a vision for the future. You know, all of our financial decisions are about the future. You know, that's in a sense, saving means transferring resources from today to the future. And the question when it comes to financial literacy, the important question is, which future do we want to build?
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, Anna. This is great. So it is a vision about investing in education, investing in the problems that will hit us in the future, and we hope that we can take up some of these policies that have big returns in order to secure a financial future for all of us, and certainly for those that are most vulnerable. Thank you, Anna, for joining us today. This brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you for listening to this Director's Cut, and thanks very much for joining us all the way from the US. We hope we can host you again. If you're interested in more of our work, you can find all Bruegel's blog posts and publications on our website at www.bruegel.org. I hope you will join us again for The Sound of Economics. Until next time, goodbye.